Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Psalm 30 is one of the Thanksgiving Psalms. David gives several like this and the others that write the Psalms to personally give thanks and to cause others to give thanks. And his essential theme here in chapter 30 is being thankful for deliverance. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is look through this passage with you and then later make an application. But you don't need the application. Psalm 30 is just such an amazing writing in itself. But let's begin first and notice verse 1, 2, and 3. We see that David praises God for his personal healing. The idea here is that David is coming out of a time of personal illness and a time that was a deathly illness. So David was afraid that he was going to die. And now on the latter end of that, he is thankful for this deliverance. Notice what he says here in verse 1. He says, "I will extol thee, O Lord." Now that's a choice word to use there, extol. David couldn't think on his own, putting David in our shoes, David couldn't think of his own exactly what word to use there. He wanted to praise God so much that he went and got his Webster's out and he looked up a word that said what he was trying to say in a lot more words, and he found extol and he said, "That's what I'm trying to do before God here." Now we know David didn't work that way, and we understand David didn't write in English, but you get where he's coming from on our end of things. We don't use extol every day, but it's a very special word here. He says, "Because you have lifted me up." David was at the point of death. David was in a time of a great illness. And we don't know what that illness was. We don't know. When I think of David, I think of the strong warrior king that he was. I don't think of him sick until we read of him in the latter years of his life. But here David has gone through something, and he is thankful to God for the deliverance. He says, "O Lord," in verse number 3, "Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave." So we understand that he was at a place of facing death. "Thou hast kept me alive," he says there, "that I should not go down to the pit," speaking there of a dug grave. In verse number 2, he praises God for healing. "O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me." There's some of you in here this morning who've gone through what was life-threatening to you, and you've been healed. And you know where David is here this morning as you say, "Thank you, Lord. Heal me. I didn't deserve it, but you healed my body." And as David is thankful for his deliverance, so can you be here this morning. There's some of us, many of us, most of us, will go through a time in our lives or someone close to us where it is a deathly situation. Or we may go through something that's not necessarily with our help. We may go through an emotional time or a mental time or a job situation or a home situation where we need deliverance. And like David here, we can be thankful for the deliverance that God brings. In verse number 4 and 5, after David shows thanks himself, he looks here for others to join with him in his thanksgiving. He says, "Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of His, and give thanks for the remembrance of His holiness, for His anger endureth but for a moment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." So he asks someone to thank with him, to offer these thanks with him. After sharing his personal testimony of deliverance, he says, "Will you praise God with me?" And he doesn't say, "Will you praise God with me for the healing?" David says, "Hey, I'm praising God this morning because He healed me." But he doesn't say, "Will you praise God with me for the healing?" Now, did you notice in verse number 4 what he asked them to praise God with him for? Anybody? Bible study time here on a Sunday morning. What did he at the end of verse number 4 there, what did he ask them to praise God with him for? Because of God's what? Holiness. You see, God may heal, God may not heal. If we only praise God when He delivers us from our illness or from our situation or from our problems, what are we going to do when He doesn't? What do we do when someone dies? That happens. David doesn't say here, he praises God, he thanks God for the healing, but then when he comes to the others, this gathering of others, I don't know who these others are here, but when he comes to them, he says, "Hey, sing with me, sing praise to His name, let's give thanks to God. Not for the healing, but for His holiness." You see, there's something about that. Does God's holiness ever change? No. God's always been holy. God always will be holy. What He's saying here, let's praise God for who He is, not for what He's done. So many times our thanksgiving is based upon solely what God has done in our life, and we should give thanks for those things. But even when we don't have anything right now to give thanks for what God has done in our life, we can praise God for who He is. He's holy, and we're not. We want to be like Him, and He's made a way for us to be. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thing to give thanks for. And David here, he not only praises for his personal healing, but he looks for others to join him and gives thanksgiving for who God is. You see, God does what He does because of who He is. Thus, praise is not offered just for what God does, but for who He is. God can only do what God does because of who God is. If God were not who He is, He couldn't do what He does. We go to Him when someone says cancer. We go to Him when someone says tragedy. We go to Him when someone says layoff. We go to Him when someone says broke. And we say, God, help. That's exactly what David here. Verse number 10, he says, Hear, O Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, be Thou my... What does it say? You still have your Bibles open? Lord, be there my helper. David's no different than you and I. He's just a person who needs God's help. And it's wonderful that we can go to Him and ask for help. Love that. And then in verse number 6, down through verse number 10, David shares with us, the reader, but also those that he's speaking with at that time of this recording, his personal crisis that he has recently come through. His crisis was not just the illness, though. And that is originally where we get the thanksgiving from, is David says, Hey, I was at the point of death, but You kept me alive, and I thank You for that. But his crisis that he alludes to here in verse 6 through 10 was that his mentality that he had prior to this illness. He says he was so certain of himself and his prosperity. Notice number 6, verse number 6. He says, And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever had just the right amount of money in your pocket? Just the right house? Just the right husband or wife? And the kids were all right, and the car was just like you wanted it, and the job was secure, and the meal was on the table at you just like you want. I mean, everything was just right. And in your prosperity, you felt like, it doesn't get any better than this. I'll never be moved. You feel that way? I feel that way. I mean, there's times when life just does us that well, doesn't it? Or when God blesses us that much in life. And David said, As I sat back in the prosperity of life, I said within myself, I'll never be moved. Notice what he continues in saying there. He says, Lord, by Thy favor, Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Men, do you ever feel that way about your homes? You feel like, boy, I've got a strong home. I've got a good wife. I've got healthy children. We've got a nice place to live. Everything's just like it needs to be. It's based upon God and the Bible. God has made my mountain to stand strong. You see, in thanking God for His deliverance, David does thank God for the deliverance from the illness. But more so, David thanks God here. The deliverance from himself, as he and his thinking had become toxic to himself. He said, God, You had to cut me down with this illness to help me realize I was too high in my pride because of Your blessings in my life. I thought that I would never be moved. I thought, God, You'd made my mountain strong. Verse 7, he tells what God did when he came to that place. He said, You made my mountain to stand strong, but then You hid Your face from me, and I was troubled. I cried to You, I made my supplication, but in my realizing, I began to realize, Lord, that there's no profit that You can get out of me once I'm laid in the dust. You see what David writes there? He says, what is the dirt going to cry out and praise Your name? No, it's not. God, You want me to do that. And I wasn't doing that while I sat back in my prosperity. So not only is David saying, Thank You, Lord, that You healed my body and kept me alive. David's saying, Lord, thank You to help me realize that my life wasn't going the direction that it should have been. Thank You for using this thing in my life, this tragedy, this trauma, this issue, to bring me to the place where I can bring glory to Your name. Because that is what I'm intended to do. He says that here in verse number 12, To the end, that my glory may sing praise to Thee. You understand that the end of all of our actions, what we should do, what we should be leaning toward, what our end result, the goal, the end should be, was that everything that we do brings glory to God. Everything. You might have questions of, well, should I do this or should I do that? Easy answer there. Not always the answer we want. does that bring glory to God? If it does, it's an obvious yes. If that brings glory to God, men, we should be doing that. If it doesn't, then you either have to say no, or you have to decipher, well, is it a no? But, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer there. I can just give you the easy one, right? The yes, the no. But David is not just thankful for his cure or being raised back up to help. David is thankful that God has brought him around to understand where he was in his prosperity. And because of this review, because of recalling this, you have to read Psalm 30 as almost a testimony to these people that David is with here. And he begins this testimony by saying, you guys, I got to praise God because he's healed me. I was sick unto death and he heals me. And then he goes into, but let me tell you what else he did for me. He said he kind of knocked me down a notch, but it helped me to understand that I needed to be knocked down there so I could bring more glory to his name. And in telling this, David re-excites himself again over what he just told them. You ever get like that? You ever get so excited about something you just have to tell somebody? You ever come to that place where, you know, I mean, you're just bubbling over and somebody's got to know? We get like that at my house. My wife will come in or I'll come in and she's home or she'll come in and I'm home. And, you know, when you're home, you're doing stuff, you're busy, you're focused on something else, and somebody comes in from outside, you know. They haven't been chasing around a 1.5-year-old little thing around the room all day long that touches everything and wants to show you everything and can get the refrigerator open now. Yay! And he's proud of himself. He said, look, Dad, I found eggs. Oh, I didn't tell you about that, did I? My bad. You know, you're focused on that. And then someone comes home and they're excited. And they want to tell you what they're excited about. You know, I'm usually, let me tell you how the good deal I got today. I was on the phone dealing with them and I got them way down on the price. And I want to tell my wife about that, you know, or she'll be come home and she's excited about something and tell me. And I mean, you get excited about these things, you just have to tell someone. And that's kind of where I feel David is here as he begins this chapter. As he says, I will extol you, Lord. And then he goes again through telling about it. You know how that does us? We get to telling someone about it, and then we get to remembering it ourselves because we've told, and maybe we forget some things and we recall them during that time of retelling, and David just gets jubilant all over again. Notice what he says here, verse number 11, as he begins to remember again what God has done for him. He says, Lord, you've turned my mourning into dancing. Wasn't that something? He said, I went from bitterly crying to just, I mean, cut the rug. I had a jig in my step, I had to get it out. Now, I'm no dancer. The best dancing you'll ever get out of me is if I kind of do my little finger dance here. I can't dance. My feet are too big. You see how big those things are? You don't want me dancing with the feet that big. I'm all arms and legs, and I've got this growth in here now that just, I'm not a dancer. Now, I see people dance, and I envy them because they're so good at their dancing, and I wished I could dance like they could. My old preacher man used to, he wrote a poem about dancing in the rain. Y'all have heard the song Singing in the Rain, and I don't want you to think that. But he couldn't dance either. He was more clumsy than I was. But I just think of my old preacher man out here on this rainy day standing out there just in his suit after preaching. He would get real excited about God, and he would get excited about church. And he was a lot like David, come to think of it. I can just see him just so excited that he couldn't contain himself, just run out there and jump up and down in a puddle, just excited. And that's where David is here. He began with, I'm going to give thanks to God for my deliverance. And as he goes through these verses, we read about him telling of this. And he says something very strong like, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's helpful to us, isn't it? That's a wonderful verse. I mean, we grab onto that and it helps in the worst times of life. We can remember that David said, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And through this process, David reevaluates himself and then again begins to celebrate and praise God for his goodness. Not only is he thankful for the healing, then he becomes thankful for the life change. And he says, man, this is good. He said, Lord, you've turned my mourning into dancing. He goes further to say here, look at what he says. He says, at the middle of verse number 11 there, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Now, sackcloth was a mourner's garment, a repenter's garment. I put on, you know, I've gotten down to almost naked. It's sort of the idea there. You didn't put it on for fashion. Some of you may have grown up wearing potato sack clothes. Has anybody had to do that? Isn't that what they're on, potato sack dresses? Is that right? Okay. Maybe it's just a Georgia thing. Only my mother's nodding there. But I mean, the idea is there. You didn't get it from a store. You just you went out and just put on barely nothing, and you would sit in your mourning and in your repentance in this sackcloth, and you would put ashes on your face to make yourself look like what you felt like on the inside. You ever felt that way? Where you just wanted to put on some old rough sackcloth garment and probably rub some ash on your face because that's how you felt inside. We all get that way sometimes. And David said, Lord, you've taken me from being clothed like that to as if I got up and put my shirt on and it was just all the gladness you brought into my life. And I just pulled it down over my head and put it around my body here. And I'm just that happy that I can just feel it all over me all day today. That sounds silly, doesn't it? Clothed with gladness. But you get that idea. We say around here a lot, bathed in prayer. We know what that means. Don't really take a bath in prayer, but we understand when we take a bath, that water just covers every little bit of our body. As we bathe someone in prayer, bathe ourselves in prayer, we just, all of us, I mean, we just get in and get wet, and that's just how it is. And David says here, I've gone from weeping to rejoicing. I've gone from mourning to dancing. I've gone from sackcloth and ashes to being clothed with gladness, God, because of how good you've been to me. I think David's a little excited here. He's happy. David is thankful for deliverance. Deliverance from his illness. Deliverance from himself through an illness. He's thankful for God being God and doing as he does. Now let me take just a minute with all of that in mind and try to bring this into our world. I'm going to give you this through three questions. What can you be thankful for today? Are there others involved in your thankfulness? And how can your situation turn out like David's? I want my situation to turn out like David's, don't you? David had the blessings of God in his life. It's wonderful. What can you be thankful for today? We notice in verse number 1, verse 2, verse 3, what David is thankful for. That's a simple question, though, when we ask ourselves. We don't need to go to Scripture to figure out what we're thankful for. We could go around the room today and you could all just say, well, I'm thankful for this. Well, I'm thankful for that. And somebody would say, well, I'm thankful for that. And we'd all say amen because we'd all be thankful for that as well. It's easy to catalog in our lives the things that we're thankful for. I'm looking around at some of you here this morning. Some of you are thankful for that person sitting next to you because they ought not be. But God delivered them. And we bless His name and we thank Him for that. Notice what David is thankful for here. He said in verse number 1, I'm thankful for protection from mine enemies. Aren't you thankful for protection from Satan?
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for the authority we have as the believer that we know Satan's more powerful than us. We know that he's trickier than we are. We know that he can mess us up. But all we have to do is hold up the Word of God.
Amen.
Resist the devil and he has to flee from us. I'm so thankful for protection from our enemies. In verse 2, he says, I'm thankful for healing. I don't know what David was going through here, but I've seen you go through it, and I've been through it myself, and I understand what it's like when death is lurking. As the believer, we can be happy in death because we know that this is not the end, that this is just the beginning of eternity. And while we pass on this shore, we arrive home finally on another shore, and we can be excited. Don't let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you.
That's right.
As a believer, we are comforted in the fact, as awful as death is, that there's a place for us somewhere.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said He would come, He would return and take us to where He is. But even with that being the facts, when it's you getting the diagnosis, when it's you in the doctor's room, when it's you that has to go through that trying time, death is a scary thing. I understand that. And David here says, I'm thankful for healing while facing death. Verse number 3, David says, hey, I'm just thankful for life. If you're here this morning and you're in a bad way and there's nothing else you can be thankful for, take a deep breath and be thankful for life. And that's a miracle what we can just do right there, just breathe in air, keep all this alive inside of us. You should see how I eat. I mean, it's really a miracle that I can just take a deep breath and keep me alive. But it's not my fault, though. It's all the people that cook for me. If for no other reason today, if you can't be thankful for anything in your life, be thankful for the things in David's life. Think back through this past year. Think back just since last Thanksgiving. Think about where you were at this time last year and where you are today. Think of what's happened to you through the winter and through the spring and through the summer, and now we're into the fall. Where have you come from? Where have you gone? Where have you been? Make your own list. What has God kept you from? What has God delivered you out of? We all have something we can be thankful for today. Secondly, What can you be thankful for first? Then, are there others involved? See, in verse 4 and 5, David presented the opportunity for others to give thanks on his behalf. He said, let me tell you how good God's been to me. We should do that. And then others can praise the Lord with you on that. Isn't that wonderful? Let me ask you, are others involved? Are others involved by you sharing? Are you involved in others sharing? David shared with some group here his personal experience. He then encourages them to give thanks to God for who God is. We just thought through what we're thankful for here today, but what are you doing with that information? Are you giving thanks to God with others? Are you allowing them to be thankful with you? I'm bad to just sort of hold my blessings in. But think about it and think to myself, not out loud, with my mouth shut, maybe with a little grin on my face and say, thank you, Lord. That's good, you know. But that's not fair to everybody else, is it? They might want a blessing from that as well. Right. Should probably share that from time to time and say, let me tell you how good God is. Let me tell you what God's done for me. Now, we have to be careful that we don't lean to the bragging end of things. But if I am going to get accused of bragging, I'd rather it be about bragging about God than anything else. I could really meddle right there, but I'm going to just stop. Just know that I could have. I could have stomped on some toes. We'll brag about some things, though. We will. But not God always. From this writing, we learn that we can keep another from a blessing by neglecting to share our own blessings with them. You ever thought of that? You ever thought about how you're robbing the people around you of a blessing by not allowing them to rejoice with you on your own blessings? Share those things. That's important. And then think of it this way, on the other end, when someone else is trying to share something, when they're excited, when they're thanking God, do you participate with them when they give you the opportunity? If someone shares with you the joys of their situation, are you thankful with them? You know, many times we can become self-absorbed in our own little trouble. Those are the times where we have to kind of back away from us and just celebrate their goodness, celebrate their happiness, celebrate the blessings of God in their lives. We've all got problems, right? All God's children got problems, right? We all need prayer. Somebody taught me early in life, be nice to everybody because everybody's going through something. And that's the truth. Everybody's going through something. It may be small, it may be big, but everybody's going through something. But sometimes, no matter what you're going through, when someone else gets a victory, when someone else gets a blessing, you have to parade around them and build them up and how good God's been. And you'll notice it'll take your mind off your own problems and help you to be excited for them. But when we get self-absorbed, we turn that into, well, God, you helped them. What about me? That's never the way to be. Never going to get anywhere with that. How did David say it? He said, God must have healed me to bring glory to Him, because if he'd have just let me die, my death would have brought no glory to Him. You see, if you're still living today, if you're still alive, God wants you that way to bring glory to His name. Don't ever show yourself as someone who won't. If you're just as good to God dead and alive, well, what reason does He have to keep you alive? Well, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? That's what David said here. Look at verse 9. What profit is there in any blood, or in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Thy truth? David said, God, You've kept me alive, and I'm going to make You proud of that. I'm glad You did, and I'm going to let the world know it. You're going to get glory out of this. Because if you'd have let me die, the dust wouldn't have praised you. Are others involved? Do you participate when others give the opportunity? We keep ourselves from a blessing when we are not involved in giving thanks from someone else's situation. So what can you be thankful for today? Then are others involved in your giving of thanks? And then finally, how can your situation turn out like David's? Well, isn't that a spiritual level that you'd like to reach? I mean, I think of David, and David's way up here. When I think of where David was in life, man, if I could ever be like David, if I could ever be like Paul, you know, think of these guys in the Bible. How can your situation turn out like David's? Let's look at the pattern that he shows us here. In verse number 1, 2, and 3, he offers praise. Verse 4 and 5, he involves others. Verse 6 and 7, David confesses. Verse 8 through 10, he reviews his own situation. Verse 11 and 12, David celebrates. That's a pretty easy pattern. Any of you here good at following recipes? David really gives us a recipe of what to do when in a dire circumstance. He praises, he involves others, he confesses, he reviews his own life, and then he celebrates. That's what to do. Do you wish to get through your situation and grow in God along the way? That is what is being taught to us here. Not to just get through our sickness, not to just get through the firing at work, not to just get through this hard economic time, but it's to get through those things and allow God to do something in our life along the way. You see, as believers, we understand that we are born, Psalm 139, born with a purpose, that we are saved with a purpose. Thessalonians writes about this, and that we are to live because we were born and saved with a purpose. If not, we would be saved up into heaven. We would be glorified as soon as we are justified. But we are left and will later be glorified because God has work that He wants us to do. James writes and says, don't think it strange, believer, when you face trials, because it's what God uses to make you perfect. Yeah. Anybody here want to be perfect? Do you ever wish, man, I just wished I was perfect. I'm always messing up. I'm always making mistakes. I'm always saying the wrong thing. Whew. Say amen for me right there. I'm always saying the wrong thing. I wanted a resounding one there because I do. James says, don't think it's strange, the things you go through in life. That is what you get signed up for when you became a believer. God uses those things to make you into what He wants you to be. So the question becomes, and we say, well, I'd like to be like David. Well, are you willing to go through what he did? Are you willing to allow God to bring you to the point of death, to allow you to grow into what He wants you to become? The teaching here is first, thank God for what He is doing and what He has done in your life. Second, get others to be thankful with you for who God is. Many times mid-crisis, you don't know how to praise in your current circumstance. You ever been there? You don't know what to say? You know you should praise, but there's no praise in your mouth. There's no praise in your brain. There's no thanksgiving in your heart. Well, I've been there. I've been to where there wasn't nothing but complaining in me. And I was aware of it. I was trying to fix it. But every time I turned around, it got worse and worse and worse. Hey, that's when you resort to just praising God for who He is. Lord, it ain't good for me right now, but I'm thankful to have Your Word. Things aren't going well for me right now, but I'm thankful that I'm alive. Things aren't going well right now, but I'm thankful that You're still God and You're still on the throne and everything's going to be all right sometime, even if it isn't today.
Amen,
that's the hope we have as a believer.
Amen.
I don't know exactly what God is doing. I don't know how or if I'm going to make it through this, but I know what God's Word says and I know what God has already been to me, so I can, right now in my circumstance, be thankful for who God is. Thousands of years have come and gone, and God's remained the same. Why do we think He's going to fail us now?
Amen. That's right.
I love that old song. There's no need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow.
Yes.
Amen? Safely this far, Jesus has brought us. There's no need to doubt Him now. There's no need.
That's right.
Examine yourself. Thank God for what He's doing and what He has done. Get others to be thankful with you. Examine yourself. Confess, if needed, for your current state. And then review your situation. Look at your life. Where are you with God? What are you doing for God? What are you not doing for God? And the last thing we saw David do there was to celebrate. Let your crying be turned into dancing. Take off your sackcloth and put on gladness. It seems always that God got glory in abundance for His work in David's life. Do you think maybe that affected God's acting in David's life? I mean, I don't know if it's the case, but I can imagine God in heaven knew He's going to get glory from David. So why not send a little bit David's way? That brings me to the question to ask, well, what's God getting from me? What reason does He have to help me? As we began, the thought of being thankful for deliverance seemed fairly simple, didn't it? God gets us out of something, and we thank Him for what He does for us. Sadly, that's where it ends for most of us, though. But I'm so thankful for Psalm 30 and David's teaching to us here that it's more than that. As we look deeper into David's situation, we saw there was more to it. Not only was he delivered from sickness, he was delivered from that toxic view of himself. And that was the true deliverance David experienced. And on realizing that, he could be truly thankful for deliverance. Are you following that pattern with the situation you've currently been given? You see, we tend to have this idea of, I'm the only one who's ever had to go through this. I'm the first one. And man, I'm right there with you, because when it's my problem, I feel that way too. But no. David said, I was sick and he healed me. I was in a bad way and he lifted me up. I had a problem and God fixed it. God always has been. God always will be. And it's only when we follow the Bible's teachings on life that we can ever look back and really be thankful for deliverance. There's more to the Christian life than just praising God anytime He gets us out of or through something. If we can only praise Him in the good times, well, what good have we done? The wicked praise Him in the good times. When we, like James writes, become aware of all God is doing, we can then really be thankful for deliverance.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.